You told us about the house you had at Lake George for vacation time.
Yes.
Were there any hobbies or anything you and your husband and children did that involved all of you together?
I mean, we went boating, we went swimming,
that.
We went...
And what about in the city here? What, did you do anything that you were all interested
in? From the time they were, you know, able to go with us, they were away at
school. I see.
Did you keep up your tennis at all after you were married in the early years before the children were born?
Oh, I did. I played with them, yes.
You did play tennis?
Sure. Huh? But not after.
Did your husband play?
After I came home from college, I didn't do much of that.
Did you do any organization work? Or name some of the organizations in the early years that you belonged to?
Well, I'm still on the board of a sisterhood.
What in the early years when you're...
Well, I'll tell you, the first board that I went on after I came home from college was Planned Parenthood, which sounds ridiculous.
No, that's good.
That was the first board that they asked me to go on, and the first one that I went on.
Did you stay on it very long?
Yes, I did for quite a while.
And what sort of work did you do with them?
Nothing. I mean,
you were on the board.
On the board.
And what after that?
After that, I was, of course, the sisterhood board. I've been on the council board. I've been on an awful lot of boards.
What, in being on the board, what commitments did you make? What committees did you work with?
You mean with the sisterhood?
Sisterhood.
Well, I think the one that gave me the most pleasure was the Braille committee.
Did you do a lot of Braille?
Sure, I did.
Are you certified in the
yes.
Braille work? Oh, wonderful.
Do you still do it?
No. No, I don't.
Were you one of the early founders of the Braille Committee?
I think I was in either the first or the second class that they had.
Who taught you at that time?
Lillian.
Did she start it?
She was the teacher. Yes, she started it.
And do you remember what type of any of your interesting books that you did the Braille for, or any of the interesting people that you might have done special Braille work?
The book that I transcribed for my certificate was Helen Keller's memoir.
That's interesting.
And then we tried to transcribe one book for the Library of Congress. It was under the Red Cross at that time. And the next book we transcribed for the Jewish Braille Institute. So that we used, I mean, we were...
Gave everybody equal time.
Yes.
Did you do any work other than, besides being on the board and being a member of Council of Jewish Women? Because that was a very early...
Yes.
Organization that started in Pittsburgh.
No, I don't think
you were never
so.
In charge of a committee of any sort or anything
didn't.
Like that?
I must have been on committees, but I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
But you did more work with the sisterhood then?
Yes. It was natural.
It was natural, you're right. Did you also, while before you were even married, did you do anything at Sunday school?
Well, I wasn't in Pittsburgh enough.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was married, because I came home from college and I was married very shortly after.
Did your, after your father died, did your mother continue doing sisterhood work? I know she was president of the sisterhood at one time.
Oh, that was before.
I know
yes.
that. Did she continue doing sisterhood work too?
I think so, if they asked her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she did whatever they asked her to do.
Your sister was the president, too,
yes.
at one time. I remember the
right.
name.
Yes.
I did a short history of the sisterhood.
Did you?
That. Yes.
Mm-hmm. When lately?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get some of the artifacts together for it. Could you sort of maybe contrast the way you were brought up with the way you brought up your own children? Was it a stricter household or the same or?
No, it wasn't stricter. No, we were never brought up in a strict household. We were never said you can't do this and you mm-hmm. can't do that. If there was a reason for not doing something, that was explained to us. And if my father or my mother felt that it was wrong or right, then they explained that. But not, you can't, for no reason. It was always a reason.
Did you do the same with your children?
I think so. I hope so.
Now, your mother and dad had two daughters and you had two sons.
Yes.
So, of course, I guess the approach may have been just a little bit different.
Well, maybe it was.
You know, with the boys and girls. Mm-hmm. You were never restricted in any way in your
no.
home life. And certainly you went your own way as later when
yes.
you were more adult as a young girl. Your friends from college, have you ever kept in touch with any of those ladies?
Yes, I have. Of course, there are not many more. There are not many left.
Did you ever go to a reunion?
Not for a long time, I haven't. And of course, our class hasn't reunited lately.
But you did go to some.
Oh yes.
Do you remember anything you wanted to tell us about those? Any? Did you go to your 25th or your 30th?
I don't remember which one. But I went to. But of course. The college was a small college.
Mm-hmm.
It was not coeducational, and we were restricted to a certain extent that they wouldn't stand for now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
did your sister go to the same school?
Yes. Yes, she did.
Were you both there at any one point together?
No,
No.
Were you and your sister close?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Was she married around the same time that you were, or much later?
Well, she was married twice.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you know?
No.
No, she was married twice. She married a Pittsburgh man first, and then after he died, she married
Mr. Weigel.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have any children by either
no,
marriage?
Never.
So your children have no cousins, mm-hmm. except on their father's side.
Well, there's only one, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Only Leona's daughter, that's all.
Who was your sister married to the first time?
Leon Paul.
Oh. Now, maybe you can remember how you celebrated Hanukkah or... Rosh Hashanah, I'm sure.
The
you
religious
know, the
observances.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hanukkah, we of course lit the lights. My father wrote a Hanukkah service, which they used at the temple at that time. He also wrote a Passover service, which they used, and which some people are still using. Some families that have this Passover at home, they still use it.
Did your mother continue using that even after
sir.
Your father died?
Yes.
Did you and your family use that one too for many years?
Sure, I have them in here. I have them.
At the High Holy Days, were they times of great stress on your father, do you think?
Well, of course
for preparing the sermons
of course
and
they were.
All the jobs he had to do
sure.
at that time.
Sure.
Did he ever discuss his sermons with his family before he...
Not before he gave them,
no.
You see, at that time, there were no assistants at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
He did the whole
right.
work of the holidays. And on Yom Kippur, he practically conducted the service.
All day, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also made pastoral calls by himself, too, probably.
Oh, of course he did.
Uh-huh. Did your mother ever go with him to make the pastoral
Always.
Calls?
She was quite active
yes.
in everything that went on, I'm sure.
Did you, as a small child, ever question any of the religious observances when you had to stay out of school or anything?
No, I don't think so. I don't think a small child would.
But in college, did you continue following what you've been raised?
I went to a Quaker college. And as far as any religious services or anything like that, they didn't exist there. Mm-hmm. They didn't require them. You went to chapel if you wanted to go to chapel. There were no, say, Sunday services there.
Were there many I'm sure not many, but were there other Jewish girls there, or some?
As looking back, I suppose there was a quota, just the same as anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But there were two or three. See, it was, at Bryn Mawr still is, a small college. In the charter, they were not allowed to have more than 500 students on campus. Mm-hmm. Therefore, an entering class would be maybe 100 students. Well, out of 100 students, maybe 4 or 5
right.
would be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So your friends were both Jewish and Christian?
Sure.
Looking back, what do you think about Pittsburgh's Jewish life then and the Jewish life now and its place in the general community? Were the Jewish people here handled any differently by the general community?
Oh, yes.
Years ago?
A great deal of anti-Semitism then.
Is it better now as far as your viewpoint?
I think so, don't you?
I do, but I mean, I didn't live here years ago.
Yes, I think it is.
Did you ever yourself come across any
overt... No, I don't think I did.
Right.
I don't think I ever did, no.
Did your parents?
Well, I don't know what they probably did. I don't know.
But it wasn't a general part of your life.
You know, my father, I suppose, was the first Jew to be appointed to the Board of Trustees of the university. I mean, he didn't feel it personally, but there probably was a great deal.
And what about culturally, besides the religious, Pittsburgh's Jewish life, what about the cultural life? Did you feel there was more to be offered years ago as you lived here?
No, I think there's more now.
What about the politics? Do you remember much about the politics from years ago?
I remember being, my parents having somebody come in a horse and carriage to take them to vote, not my mother, my father, to take them to vote.
Oh, tomorrow they're doing it by cars.
Yeah.
Right. Could you, were any famous people that came to your house that you can remember, a president maybe, or something of that sort?
You know the, or do you remember the picture of Taft?
I know it because I worked with all, I got together all those old things.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that picture.
You saw that
Taft,
picture,
right.
My father brought him here to speak at the temple. He also, I suppose, Booker Washington was not allowed to go to any hotel at that time. And so he stayed at our house.
Oh, really? Isn't that...
And there always were people coming and going.
Uh-huh. But did he speak at temple? Or what purpose did he come for?
He must have. I don't remember. But I do remember. I do remember the time that... who was the contralto?
Marian Anderson.
Yes. They wouldn't take her at any hotel in the city. She came for a concert,
mm-hmm.
So my father found a place for her to stay.
So he was really a forerunner of the civil rights movement.
Well, I suppose so.
Right, isn't that something? It's marvelous.
He was interested in all civic endeavors. It wasn't only just the congregation. It was Pittsburgh that he was interested in. And there wasn't a thing went on without his being in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's entirely different. It's an entirely different congregation now. It's an entirely different organization now.
Now, in what ways can you...
In every way. I mean, how much is the congregation as a congregation, or the rabbis as rabbis, how much are they interested in the city itself, in civic organizations, in civic movements? How much are they now?
Well, I think with the civil rights movement, most of the temples, not just ours,
yeah,
most of them have become more involved.
Well, maybe
nowadays. But I remember, wasn't your father also interested in prisoners? Do you remember that he did work with the prisoners, the Jewish prisoners?
Do you have any recollection as to the size of the congregation at those times?
Yes, there were about, I'd say close to 1,000 members.
Members, not families. 1,000 members or 1,000 families?
Well, I don't know whether it be families or members.
Because I think there's 1,600 families now.
Do you remember the pew system when you had the pew system?
Do.
Tell us something about it, because
you don't remember.
I don't remember it. I just know the leftover from it. You know that they talk about.
Well, you see, when my father came here, the congregation, the members were practically all living on the north side. Mm-hmm. They wanted to move from the north side. So they bought a piece of property on 8th Street downtown and built a temple the year my father came here. And, of course, the temple was adequate at that time, but it grew so fast that within, I'd say, 6 or 7 years, they had to get a larger temple. So that's when they bought the property on 5th Avenue.
Do you remember anything about the building of the temple, or the excitement of the working out the plans? Did your father have something to do with that?
The year that they moved out to Fifth Avenue was the year that I spent in France.
Oh, you had just become young.
I was in the first confirmation class that was confirmed out there.
On Fifth Avenue. Were you ill during your confirmation year?
No.
It was after your confirmation.
What year was that, do you recall?
I think it must have been about 1907, 1908, somewhere around there.
Was that when they moved here to the Fifth Avenue?
I think that's when they moved, about that time.
Do you remember before you became ill, when they were building the temple while
you
were still in
eighth? No, they weren't building it.
That was when it was over, already built.
No, they hadn't started it.
Oh, when did they start it?
They must have started it the year that we were away.
Oh, I see. So, when did they move into the Fifth Avenue? Do you remember that?
I would say maybe 1907, maybe 1908. I don't know exactly.
No. I should think
in the archives.
Well,
right,
I'll find that out. But I was curious about if you remembered before you became ill, before they built the temple, if you remembered your father discussing the plans of what he wanted to know.
No, that I don't.
Now, your mother was president of the sisterhood.
Yes.
And I believe that was around this time that you
was
were confirmed.
I don't exactly know.
Sisterhood started in 1906, I know that.
Did they?
And Mrs. Cohen was the president then. Your mother was
the second
president. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you remember anything about her coming home and saying, oh, I have to do this,
no.
I have to do that?
No, I don't. She probably didn't do it. She said to my father, you write it.
She probably enjoyed that year in France away from her activities here.
What was their relationship? That would be interesting, to each other. I mean, he didn't tell her everything she had to do.
He didn't tell her what she had to do. She was her own willed type of a person.
No,
not a very strong will. You didn't
know
my mother, she was a typical mid-Victorian, really.
In other words, the husband
set
the tone?
I don't know that, but her ideas were all Victoria.
As I remember her, she was a sweet little lady.
Yes.
And of course she lived to, would you, for the record, tell us how long, how old she was when she died? We know, but, and had she always been in good health?
Yes, she had.
And in her later years, I know she had her own apartment. Could you tell us something of the type of life she lived while we're
talking? Oh, in her later years, she was interested in everything that was going on, but wasn't able to participate.
I remember she always wrote her own notes.
Yes.
Never asked anyone to do that.
Oh, no.
She was very independent, I remember, and very sweet. Did she like... Oh, I remember something that you can put on the record. What type of books did she like to read? Do you remember that?
Dr. Freehoff always sent her all his detective stories.
Do you like detective stories, too?
No, I don't. Do you?
Yes. Looking back on your life, how would you summarize it for future historians, growing up as the daughter of a rabbi and married to a prominent physician and the mother of two boys? What would you want to tell us about your life?
I really haven't accomplished very much.
Oh, I think you've accomplished a lot.
No, I don't think
so. I think so. I think that all that you've told us here shows a lot of accomplishment. It takes a certain stamina to do all the things that you have done, and raising your boys even.
Well, I don't know.
I think being the child of a famous parent has a certain obligation.
Well, maybe a certain obligation, but it's difficult.
It's very, yes. Well, could you tell us anything about that?
Well, I think it's difficult because you are more or less, and I know I was, as a young girl, I was held up as an example.
Oh, dear.
And it's expected of you.
More was expected of me, yes. But that made it a little bit difficult.
But I'm sure after you were married, you overcame that because then you were your own person.
Well,
then.
Then I was myself.
Do you have any other information you'd like to add to this tape about your life, about Pittsburgh, about the Jewish?
No, I don't know what you would like to know. I'm glad to answer any questions, but I don't know what you would...
Anything of interest as you've seen in your life here in Pittsburgh from your childhood on till now, what your thought about Pittsburgh is?
Well, I think Pittsburgh has progressed beautifully, don't you?
Yes.
That when I think back of the floods that we had every year and what they've done taking care of that, and also how they have beautified Pittsburgh. I think they've done wonders here.
Do you remember the flood of 36?
Oh, I should say.
Could you tell us something about that?
The year we came to Pittsburgh, we were staying at the Lincoln Hotel, which was down where Horns is now, and there was a flood. And I can remember them going out on Penn Avenue and all around there in rowboats.
That was when you were a child. That
yes,
was when you were about
yes,
nine.
Yes, when
uh-huh.
we first came to Pittsburgh, the first year we came to Pittsburgh.
And other floods since then, you remember?
Well, I remember the... Was it when
36.
Was it?
36.
36, yes.
You remember that? Were you living here?
We were living here, yeah.
Could you tell us something about it?
Well, I remember that we were not allowed to go beyond Craig Street. You know, nobody was allowed to go beyond Craig Street. Nobody was allowed to go downtown.
Did you have lights and heat and all that sort of thing? Or you
We had no heat. Now, the reason we had no heat was that the electricity was turned off in the houses. And gas we had.
Mm-hmm.
The houses that were heated by gas were all right. The ones that had electricity were not.
Mm-hmm.
I know the house we lived in was the furnace was started with an electric spark and we had no heat at all.
When you talk about electricity and gas, in your childhood, did you have electricity in your home then? Do you remember?
I think we must have, from the time we came to Pittsburgh anyway.
You don't remember any
other?
I don't remember, no.
I don't ever remember.
Did your parents always stay on Denison Street, or did they move again after that house?
They moved to the house at the corner of Hobart Street and Shenley Park. I don't know if you know that house. It's still there.
Hobart.
And Shenley Park.
But were you already married then? Were you living?
No, I wasn't married. I married while they were living.
Oh, I see. So do you remember how old you were when they moved in there? Were you in college?
Oh, I must have been. I don't know. They didn't live there too
long. The big one on the left as you go to the park? Or
yes. Right at the entrance to the park.
I know what you mean.
Well, at that time, the property went down all the way to the first little street. And we had a tennis court. Right on that property.
The street that is closer to Whiteman, I guess.
Yes.
Uh-huh. There is a little, it cuts through
in
there.
Yeah, that's right.
They
built houses.
Right, sure.
In other words, on Denniston, there was a tennis court.
Sure.
And on Hobart, there was tennis court.
Sure.
Well, were your parents tennis players?
Yes.
Oh, you both of them played?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize this.
Who were their friends, Ruth? Can you recall your parents? I mean, social
family
friends.
Sure. I guess you better say the Rao family. I don't know. There are none left here, you know.
I know.
The Rao family, the Frank family. The Wertheimers, the Sunsteins.
Did they have the same interest? Were they interested in tennis?
I don't think they were.
Were they interested in the temple? All of them worked with the temple with your father?
They were. I guess most of them were on the board of trustees of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lipman, of course, was the president.
Do you remember him?
Sure.
Abraham Lipman.
Yeah.
Were you friendly with any of their children?
Certainly. Those were the people I grew up with.
Mm. Are any of them today around?
There's not very many, are there?
Mm.
Do you remember the war years? In Pittsburgh, was there? Tell us something about the war years of 1918. You had just the First World War.
Well, my husband was in.
Oh, was he? Where was he sent?
He was stationed in Chillicothe, Ohio, originally, and then sent to the embarkation port in Mineola.
New York.
I guess that's New York.
I think. And was he a doctor by then?
Oh, yes. And he was supposed to go overseas when the flu epidemic started. And no doctors were sent from the time the flu epidemic started. No doctors were sent overseas.
Because they needed them here.
They needed them over here.
Were your sons involved in the Second World War?
well, my younger son entered medical school as in the army. You know, they were mustered into the army, and his freshman year at medical school. He went as a recruit, and then they were mustered out, and he finished his medical course without Vision.
And the older one, when he graduated from college, got a job with the Curtiss Wright Airplane Company and did testing for the airplanes for the Second World War.
So, but he was not in uniform because
he was
doing that important job.
When your husband was in the war and sent to these stations, were you able to go with him?
I didn't go with him, no, but I could visit him,
mm-hmm.
sure.
And your children, your boys, then married after their war
mm-hmm.
experiences?
Both of them.
Do you remember much about the Depression?
Sure.
Did it affect your family?
Well, not especially. I mean, after all, they were professional men, aren't they?
Well, even a doctor, were his patients able to pay him?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
I wouldn't know.
Do you remember about...